Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah Yomi continues in chapter 8 of Sanhedrin, Ben Sura Umure, picking up at Mishnah Hey. Ben Sura Umure, the rebellious son, Nidon al Shem Sofo. He's judged and, if necessary, executed because of what his end will be. As described yesterday, there's a pattern of addictive behavior here. He is stealing and overindulging, not just once, twice after being whipped, but even a third time before he can be executed, and he's staying the course. In the Mishnah comments, Yamut Zakai, it's better for him to be executed now when he has zchut, when he has relative innocence, v'olyamut chayiv, rather than to be executed later when his life is much worse. The idea being, the Gemara explains, won't be able anymore to steal from his father, to steal from his parents, and he will turn to stealing from other people, armed robbery, and he might murder people during these robberies and cause an even greater loss of life than if this whole horrible cycle is prevented. One thing we mentioned is there's a disagreement in the Gemara if such a case actually ever truly happened. One says it never happened, but drosh, a couple schar, if you look into it, then you'll see a great reward. You'll learn about parenting, you'll learn about ethics, you'll learn about preventing social malignancies. But there is an opinion that one of the sages says he saw the grave of someone who had been executed as a rebellious son. Now the Mishnah begins to get philosophical on us on the same theme. Shemitatan shel rishayim hana lahem. The death of evildoers, it's actually good for them, for hana l'olam, and it's good for the entire world, because when they die, they can't do any more sins, they can't harm any more people. L'tzadikim ra lahen v'ra l'olam. For righteous people, it's not good for them when they die, they can't continue learning and doing mitzvah, and it's not good for the world. We lose their influence and their leadership. Yayin v'sheina, wine and sleeping, l'rashayim hana lahem v'ra l'olam. It's good for evildoers if they're busy drinking and sleeping, they can't hurt anybody. It's good for the world. With tzaddikim ralem ralalam, when righteous people are involved in alcohol, intoxication, sleep, they're not learning and doing mitzvot and leading the community. Pizor l'rishayim, being scattered for evildoers, hanalahenu hanalalam, when they're scattered, they can't plot together. Velot tzaddikim, but for righteous people, being apart is ralahen ralalam. It's not good for anybody. And the idea here is they take advice from one another. One of the things you'll see if you read the responsum, you'll read the Shiloh to Tshuvot, that they ask questions of great sages. The great sages will consult with other great sages on matters of communal importance. The Mishnah adds, Kinus l'rishayim, gathering for the wicked, ra lahen ra l'olam, when there's more wicked, then they get together and do even more wickedness. Somebody commented that since the internet has become so popular, people who had, you know, a certain evil inclination, a certain taiva, they thought it was abnormal, but once they saw on the internet, there might be whole groups of people, you know, who reinforce each other to make the wrong choice. Well, tzaddikim, but gathering for righteous, hana lahen v'hana lalam, it's good for them, it's good for the world, they can support each other. Sheket, tranquility, the rishayim, ra lahen ra lalam, it's not good when the rishayim have time to plot and scheme. Well, tzaddikim, hana lahen v'hana lalam, when the righteous people get some spare time, they're going to be learning and giving tzedakah and helping others. And now we're on to Mishnah Vav, Haba B'machteret, somebody coming into a home using a tunnel. He's breaking and entering. He's entering an occupied house with the purpose of stealing. Nidon al Shem Sofo, he is also judged on account of what will happen in the end, like the Ben Sura Umure, who's executed now before he can cause further harm to himself and society. Somebody who's breaking and entering into an occupied building, the homeowner is allowed to use force to defend his home. Because every thief knows if you break into an occupied home, the homeowners will use force to resist. So the thief must also be willing to use force to harm the occupants of the home. And therefore, when the innocent residents of the home act in self-defense and use force to protect themselves from this Baba Machteret, this thief tunneling in, they're allowed to do that. It's as if the thief has already been judged and found guilty, even though he hasn't, Lemaisa, killed anyone yet. Now, I'm not giving legal advice right now, but in United States law, there is something called castle doctrine, based on the home is the castle, and it has a similar philosophical context to this. Again, consult your local Orthodox attorney. The Mishnah adds, Haya baba machteret, if the thief is tunneling in or breaking into the home, v'shaver et chavit, and in the process he broke a barrel of wine or the like in the home. Im yesh lo damim, if he has blood, chayev, he would have to pay for it. Now, what does this mean? It means, if he has blood, means the homeowners are not actually allowed to kill the thief at this time. Now, this is a very limited case. This is, for instance, a father is breaking into the home of his own child. Now, in this case, the child knows that the father is not going to harm the child, and the child will simply tell them, what are you doing here? Get lost. It could be the father is really desperate for money and wants to avoid the awkward conversation of asking his own child for money, so instead breaks into the home. It's a strange situation. Sometimes a lot of family problems could be avoided through clear communication. And in the event, a father breaking into the child's home has blood. Yesh lo damim. He's not considered to be allowed to be killed in self-defense because he's obviously not going to harm his own child, his own family. And therefore, if the father thief breaks a vessel, a barrel, or the like, while he's breaking in, he would have to pay the monetary damages for that. But ein lo damim, by contrast, a thief that has no blood, meaning it's acceptable for the homeowners, the residents, to use force to defend themselves, to repel the thief, pater. He does not have to break the barrel. The concept here is something called kamle b'derabimunei. If somebody is liable to be executed, and here this thief who's threatening bodily injury on the occupants of the home can be killed by the occupants of the home, it's as if he has no blood. It's as if he's already been judged and found guilty of a capital crime. So if he's breaking something and incurring a monetary penalty there, he is off the hook for that. Tisku le mitzvot and sei gesund.